This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hello, Place to Be Nation universe. This is Chris Zellner, and I'm joined by Devin Hales this evening, and we are going to discuss the Fastlane pay-per-view extravaganza put on by the WWE. And also, we'll talk about this little Sin City Rumble later, because that was a hell of a damn show on Saturday night. But Devin, what's going on, brother? I know we had a long weekend this weekend. Did it feel like it snuck up on you there at the last minute or something at the SCR weekend?
This whole weekend kind of did. There was pretty decent build for the SCR. There was good social media plugging for it. And it was just kind of like ended up being a big wrestling weekend in general, just a few weeks before Mania, and it just kind of came up on me, and my sleep schedule has been destroyed, but that's okay. It's been a fun weekend of wrestling for sure.
Yeah, I remember this. Oh shit, Fastlane tonight. So it's like just ain't think about it. I know. I was talking about it yesterday, but it's like, damn, here it is again. It's Sunday. And Johnny Sorrow's not with us tonight. He has a previous engagement, so he couldn't be with us. But we're going to knock this thing out. As we start with a pre-show, now I'm going to go ahead and be transparent here. I was still recording some Between the Sheets audio during the pre-show. I had it on, but I wasn't paying in-depth attention, of course, and I had it on mute. But I saw the match, the pre-show match, which was Hiro Tozawa and Rich Swann versus Brian Kendrick and Noam Dar. And like a really strong match for a pre-show match. Tozawa wore his special white shorts, I noticed, after being in black shorts all of his matches so far on television. And from what people were saying, online, he was over with the crowd, which he's been over more than most of the other 205 guys the entire time, because the guy knows how to work a crowd. He's got charisma, and he actually can speak pretty good English too, so that helps out for himself. Yeah. But what you think of the match here? Like I said, what I saw looked pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a good match. I'm not the biggest proponent of Noam Dar, as Dylan likes to call him, he's got some character, which helps him, but he's not the best ring general, so to speak.
He's got a lot to room to grow in that regard, for sure.
But yeah, this was a good opener. It was a strong opener. The crowd was behind Rich Swann and Tozawa both. He's kind of doing almost like a berserker gimmick.
Hi. Yeah,
it's kinda working.
Yeah, it's easy for the fans to get into.
Yep. But he's working that well into his matches, and the fans are getting behind him, and he's looking really good in the matches. And Swann, I've always thought, has been pretty good since the division has started. So I thought the babyface team was very good. Kendrick has improved a little bit since he's been back on the main roster. I think at first he was not good. He had a great tournament, but the first few months of the division were kind of lousy for Kendrick, but he's gotten better. And I thought this was a good opener with two of the better workers in the division on the babyface side getting the win. It was a really good fast-paced opener.
I think what helps Kendrick here is A, Tozawa is a top-flight worker, and B, this feud's a whole lot better than his feud with TJP was.
Yes. And I like TJP, but he's not working out so far, I don't think, on the main roster, and that's unfortunate. And I think that was part of the reason why the Kendrick feud wasn't working. But that's another discussion. But I definitely think that Tozawa's a much better fit for a feud with Kendrick.
Yeah, and Dar, of course, creepy Noam, as I like to call him. But even I didn't, like I said, I saw it, didn't hear it, but supposedly he suggested a three-way with him, Alicia, and Brian Kendrick.
Yes, that was sort of the hint Yeah, he suggested a menage a trois with in the so that was interesting to say the least.
I could definitely see Noam Dar being the guy to he would sit back in a chair with like a glass of scotch and watch Kendrick, you know, handle Aisha. Just Jesus Christ. Smiling the whole time, you know, being that type of guy.
That's some like that's like some GTV segment in early 1999.
he's a guy that seems like he would totally love to get off watching his girls fuck other guys. You know that. he just has that vibe about him totally.
Jeez.
Now also during the pre-show we had Rusev and Hardbody Mahal, handsome Rusev and Hardbody Mahal, go to Foley demanding, you know, matches, singles matches, and Foley said that he'd give him matches, suggested a best of seven series, which, you know, could have made people go in convulsions. But he said that you know, that they didn't want to face each other, so we have separate opponents later in the show. Now we'll talk about the matches later. What do you think about Rusev's haircut? I know some people are upset. They think that takes away from his gimmick.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard some people say that that's a slow burn to a babyface turn.
Could be.
We'll see. You know, it's possible. Yeah. I mean, I think it looks good stylistically from a haircut perspective. I mean, that, you know, whatever, you know, what suits him best, I guess. I didn't think much of it, but it's definitely kind of jarring, you know, because he's definitely got a different look now.
Well, my thing is, you know, people are like, oh, he doesn't look as European anymore. Why do you people not look at the European soccer matches to see some of the haircuts those guys have? You know, that is a Euro soccer haircut
right now.
So he looks like he's definitely European, folks. Especially when his hair gets all muscled. It looks really funky. But, interesting look. I think he needs a change. And, yeah, babyface turn definitely will be welcome. Then we'll talk about that later on. All right. Opening match of the main show here, Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, which is an interesting choice for the opener. Now I've got full concentration on the show. And kind of a shortish match. Joe just kicked the shit out of him, basically, I thought. Zayn had his moments, but it was pretty much a glorified squash for Joe. And in your opinion, was that the right way to go?
Yeah. I think so. Sammy works better as an in-ring worker when he is working from underneath and selling and making comebacks. I think it usually gets the crowd into his matches a little bit more. You know, the crowd wasn't super hot for it, but they were, you know, consistent with the heat in the match. And Joe, I think, is a better fit for the main roster, in my opinion. And I think it's better when Joe paces his matches that way, especially against workers like Zayn who can sell. Because obviously Joe can't go move for moves, speed for speed anymore because of, you know, age and wear and tear on his body. So this was a pretty well booked match, and I thought it was pretty well worked. It was a good match, and a very good decisive finish, strong finish. The Huluva kick counter into the Uranagi into the Kukina clutch for the win. So. Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think it's the exact way you need to go with Joe, because the way they're building him up right now as this you know calculated monster that's going to be at the top of the card,
the destroyer,
yeah, going to be at the top of the card, and his strength needs to be right now to be in, I'd say, sub 10-minute matches right now. Yeah. And Sammy, of course, if anybody on the Raw roster, like you said, is the perfect guy for him to have this type of match against. So, and I will say this, we got the Raw match on Raw with Cesaro on Monday. I would love to have a nice pay-per-view match between those two coming up down the line for sure.
You know, Joe's had three good matches so far on the main roster. The Roman match was good. I thought Roman made him look good. And, the Cesaro match was good. So
where do you think that good?
He's,
wait, what were you going
to say? Go ahead. Oh, I was just saying he's off to a good start in ring, I think, so far.
Where do you think they go with Mania?
I really have no clue. We'll get to the mid-card matches when we get there, but I'll go ahead and throw in a hint that I think they're kind of building to a battle, building to the Andre with those stuff, with those matches. So I suppose they could put Joe in the Andre. There's going to be a lot of matches on this card. They're going to have to load up the Andre with a lot of stars, it looks like, because there's a lot of singles matches being built to this year at Mania. So they're going to have to probably load up the Andre, I would imagine. But we'll see. I mean, it feels like a demotion, but at the same time, if they can really build the Andre well in the next month, it could maybe feel like a bigger, more important match in the long run. We'll see.
I kind of would not want to see him in there, but I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, they are known to a lot of singles matches, so it's definitely something. Sami Zayn, I could definitely see him in either that or some type of pre-show multi-man gimmick deal or something. You know,
sure. Him.
All right, Bayley did an interview saying that Charlotte's got the advantage, undefeated on pay-per-view. Dana Brooke is an X factor. But Bayley says Charlotte wants to prove herself. She needs to leave Dana in the locker room, which set up Nia Jax to come out and talk about how she's going to rip Sasha Banks up, and then if Bayley wins, she's going to come after her title. So a little foreshadowing there coming up for Mania. So we'll talk more about that as we go along. Next match, tag title match. Guns and Gallows. Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows defending against Enzo and Big Cass. Crowd was definitely in the Enzo here. Short match, though. But fun match. I think Enzo looked as good here as he's looked in a while because he took a lot of punishment.
Yes. Yeah. It was a good match. It was a really solid sprint. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm no longer the biggest fan of Enzo and Cass. they're over. They're over as baby faces. It was clear tonight, and it's been clear most weeks. So it's fine with their baby faces. I just find them annoying. That's just me. A lot of other people like them, and that's fine.
It borders on getting old. I mean, there's moments there.
Sure.
Like with New Day, which we'll talk about them later. There's moments there that where you can, you know, get some enjoyment. But it is tiring. There needs to be some freshening up.
Yeah. And part of that, I think, is they need new tag teams and to work
exactly
and new feuds and rivalries and some freshening up, especially in both tag divisions on SmackDown and Raw. I think those are the divisions that are suffering, in a lot of ways, the most are the tag divisions on both brands.
Great point.
I thought this match was good. The crowd was hot. I thought Enzo took a lot of punishment. I think his sloppiness and kind of recklessness works well when he works face in peril. Big Cass is best as a hot tag, and he had another solid hot tag in this match. Club did a little bit of cheating to win, so I think it worked. It's a good match.
Did it seem like the bloom has come off the Cass Rose in the past few months? I mean, we always heard about how Vince was like, he was in the big Cass. And remember when Enzo got hurt that, we were seeing Cass, they were starting to put him in singles matches and main event on Raw. And then Enzo comes back and they're kind of been phased out.
It's probably more of a, we tried it out and he just needs more work. He's not polished enough. We gave him the chances for the Rusev matches on the house shows and on TV and on the main event of Raw. And he just needs more work. I think he has the charisma.
Yeah, he does.
He obviously has the size. He doesn't really have anything put together yet. He just needs a lot more work. And it was probably the right decision to put him solidly back in the tag team ranks for now. He just needs more work.
Yeah. And you watch all the house show matches. So how is he progressing on house shows compared to television?
I've seen some of the Rusev matches on late December and early January, and they were okay. you know, they weren't very long. They were too short to really make anything of them. It was just there, you know, nothing too special. And when you compare him to someone like Braun, who we'll get to him, but I'll go ahead and say Braun's one of the five best wrestlers in the world right now, and that's not an exaggeration. He's that good. When you compare him to someone like Braun, who is one of the top talents in the world in the ring, it's you know what I mean? It's just like when you're having just their matches and Braun's having these really fun, interesting matches with Big Show and Sami Zayn on house shows, you know, it's just that's kind of the comparison I have to make, is like they're both kind of the same size and Braun's just way ahead and Cass hasn't done anything too interesting on house shows or on TV and singles. So he just needs more work.
Yeah. All right. Next we get Foley in the back talking to Stephanie, who's not there. Of course she's there, but she's not there. So stuck at the airport and on speakerphone, and she was bitched that she was on speakerphone and just happened to get
probably more like three doors down.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, in the closet or something, next room. Yeah. And she said she'll stay on phone with Foley throughout the whole show, but then the phone got disconnected for some reason, and then never heard of this again. Now, this is definitely going to play into, you know, some of the stuff that happened later.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
show.
Mix getting fired tomorrow.
yeah, and I think that, you know, well, we'll talk about it as the show goes on, but
sure,
I think people lost the psychology of this angle onto this, what's going on later in the show. So keep this in mind of what, you know, this whole situation compared to how it goes later. All right. Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks is next. Another short match. Nia just steamrolled her. I mean, just beat the shit out of her. Sasha takes, again, she's like Sammy, takes the punishment. You know, and Sammy and Enzo takes punishment very well. But this is like three straight matches we've had with this type of psychology.
This is, and it will continue to happen a lot in a lot of ways. But keep going.
But yeah, I mean, the crowd got into Sasha when she made her quick comeback. And then she got what I call the Tim Horner versus Road Warrior Hart tribute finish, where, you know, she got the O'Connor roll on the bigger person to win, like a. Tim Horner did the Road Warrior Honk on television in 1984 when Honk suffered his first pinfall loss. You know, it come out of nowhere and got the, you know, with the O'Connor roll. And it gave Sasha the win. Nia was kept strong in the defeat. And it's set further setting up what probably is going to be the four-way match at Mania. So as far as booking-wise, it worked, and the match was fine too.
Yeah. I like the match. I think Sasha is, or not Sasha, but Nia rather. She still struggles in the famed Matt D vocabulary, negative space. I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes she sort of just kind of there's just things that she can't really put together in between moves. And that kind of showed in the first half of the match. But I think it was fine. I thought it actually got really good towards the end when they were doing the submission trading, and you know, the crowd really got into it, which showed that the work was you know, pretty good. So, and the finish was fine. There were some complaints that they didn't really believe Sasha with her size could roll up Nia with her size the way that she did in the O'Connor roll. But you know, I was fine with it. I can buy it. So it's pretty clear they're building to that four way. And the match was good. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
The thing about Nia is that she should be the dominant heel because of her size, but I kind of have trouble believing in that.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's maybe just like when she cuts promos and her presence, she seems like too nice of a person to be a heel.
And it's interesting. I think she's too pretty for her character.
Yeah. I think you can make an argument, and I think that there could be, you know, that might sound offensive to some, because, but it's not really the point. It's just like she seems like a nice, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can see that, her being a model and a legitimately gorgeous person, and just even in her promos seeming like a nice, you know what I mean? Just like a nice, good person, doesn't really make her come off as a scary person.
And she, and if you follow her on social media, she has a great sense of humor. I mean, and she not, for the gimmick they're trying to portray her in, she's not that. And that's what I'm saying. It definitely, it's not, that's no, I mean, there's no offense I was meaning by she's too pretty. I mean, that's a comment. She's a beautiful woman.
Sure. I'm just pointing that out because some people.
Well, yeah, they shouldn't though. I mean, she's a beautiful woman.
Right, right.
And I think just the character. I mean, she could play heel, but to play a monster type heel, she doesn't have the look of, say, an Awesome Kong.
Yes.
Or
right.
Or even an ODB when she was pushed in that way. Or other people. She doesn't have that look, that aura, that look, you know, that they have.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
It's like she comes off that she could be like a babyface's best friend, the big friend of a babyface, kind of like about how Andre used to be, you know, back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody like that, you know. It's just the way she carries herself. But
it's more about her presence, and yeah, exactly, yeah.
And Sasha's, you know, even though she does a good job as a babyface worker, she really needs to be heel.
Sasha needs to be heel. I agree. I think Sasha is very good at selling. I think she's a good babyface worker. I think she's better as a worker in the ring, and I hope she gets better as a promo, because I always thought she was decent as a promo as a heel, but. I mean, she sounds like a toddler when she talks. So it's like, you know, it's just weird. I don't know. And her character is just not nowhere near as interesting and as compelling as a face, in my opinion. So, I think there's a build to a heel turn.
It's coming.
In the coming months.
It's coming. So. And that's the thing. There's a lot of people need to be switched, if you've noticed we've talked about. So. There needs to be some definitely freshing up, for sure. All right. We talked about Rusev earlier. Him and Hardbody came out and started fighting.
Yeah.
I tell you, Jinder Mahal looks like he's about to explode. His veins are so protruding out of his body. I mean, it makes John Cena blush. He's come out. So this guy is just, he's jacked to the bejesus right now. But then, but give him credit. He put Rusev out. And he got to have his first match. Ended up being Cesaro. And I was like, oh, I wish Cesaro would have wrestled Rusev. But this was okay. But I think the crowd just could not give a holy shit about Jinder Mahal. And Cesaro tried. But this didn't work.
No, it did not. And, you know, I thought the match was solid. It just, nobody, like my buddy Brandon Wegeman, who was actually at the SCR and stayed with us this weekend, you know, keeps forgetting that Jinder's even on the roster, you know, and it's like.
And he's been on TV every week.
It's just like. You know, these fans are sitting on their hands, and Jinder just doesn't have it. And so Cesaro worked hard, but the crowd popped for a few of his big spots, like they normally would. It just didn't really deliver. It was just there. And yeah, Jinder's just—it's just weird that he's back in WWE and. Jack to the gills and working, and it's just, I don't know, it's weird. I mean, like, you know, good for him for getting a pay-per-view payday.
Absolutely.
I mean,
he could be working with Molly Ball and with Jerry getting paid by the show.
Yeah, screw that. You know, so like it's just he's you know, the crowd didn't care about Jinder, so it just it didn't work.
Yes, it was like a. Heat this vacuum in there. Although I will say Cesaro had a beautiful gold jacket that they broke out for the first time. And Michael Cole said, he has a new smoking jacket. Which I couldn't believe they actually said smoking on the air. So, interesting. So Rusev beats him up after the match. So Jinder got, he got beat in the ring and beat up afterwards. And Rusev's opponent ended up being the Big Show. And this, the crowd was into this way more than the previous match because it's easy to start chanting USA against Rusev.
Sure.
But Show looked good, and Rusev is always going to be a good opponent. And I know people were bitching and complaining like hell that Big Show went over, but you know, Big Show is obviously going to have something at Mania. It's not going to be Shaq, because Shaq's a fat ass. But and yep. I love Shaq, but Shaq's a fat ass. But
yep.
I mean, Rusev's a guy who, God knows, he's done jobs all over the place. So this is, you know, this isn't going to hurt him even less. So Big Show went over. But I mean, what do you think? I think it was the right thing to do, and Big Show is probably the favorite to win the Andre.
Yeah. I think that's what these two matches were doing, where they were building to the Andre. I think all of those guys will be in the Andre, including Sheamus. You know, I think that they're building to that. I think that was the point of this two match segment. I thought the match was good. You know, I think Rusev and Big Show have pretty decent chemistry. In fact, I think, you know what, this match might have been better than their matches in 2014. Actually, this was a pretty good match.
That's for damn sure.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He can move around like 1995 again. It's pretty amazing to watch. Big Show beat him really decisively. I actually liked the combo finish, the three choke slams and the knockout. It's exactly what you said. They're building up Big Show to be a top contender for the Andre, or for something big leading into Mania. So that's why that was done. Rusev's going to be fine. He's been jobbing a lot. I do think Rusev is probably the most underrated guy in the roster.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Based on observer way of looking at it. I can see the frustration there. But you know, maybe this is a way to get this is kind of like a one of the last few matches where Rusev's heel and he turns face. That might be fantasy booking-ish, but we'll see. You know, it's possible that we could come to that. These segments were to build for the Andre, I think.
Yeah, also, it's Raw's in a position where it's not SmackDown, where you know you look at the SmackDown last pay-per-view, everybody was on the show on the roster except for one, and that one ended up just getting cut. So by his own choosing.
Yep. Yeah.
So Raw, yeah. I mean, there was people that's on the Raw roster that did not compete on the show, but it definitely was something to fill time.
Which is why I'm happy for those guys to get matches, you know, tonight. Yeah, as random as they were, and as much as we discussed this, while the show was going on, and we were like, it'd probably be better and make more sense to set these matches up on Raw last Monday, and then so people can sort of, you know, be prepared for these matches and kind of look forward to them in some way, instead of just kind of throwing them on a card.
Yeah.
Because that could be, you know, weird because it feels Monday Night Raw-ish a little bit.
But the thing is, a lot of these minor split pay-per-view shows feel like glorified television shows anyway.
Yeah,
that's just part of the deal, you know. And this one even more. But you know, when you have the main event that's going to go 20 seconds, you kind of have to throw a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
out
you got to fill. Yep.
You got to fill the time. And speaking of, Kevin Owens was with Chuck next, and was asked about beat Goldberg, and was he scared of him? And he brought up that Goldberg has only beat one guy in the past 10 years, and that's Brock. And Owens beat everybody else, so he beat Goldberg. He even mentioned beating The Rock if he came in front of him. So Owens was really good in this segment, I thought, and getting over as being confident. You know, he wasn't, you know, doing it, you know, shtick or anything. He was acting like a true heel champion. Mm-mm.
Yes. His promos have been very good since the heel turn on Jericho. I think he's cut three really good promos, so which is a big positive for him. That's good. That's good for him because I think the shtick was getting old. I think the laugh out loud funny guy was getting old. So it was important to get him to be a feel like a legitimate heel. So yeah, I like
to. And ever since he's did the heel turn, he's always wearing suits.
Yeah,
so that's the foreshadowing there. And even though it's not officially, part of this Triple H group or anything, there's no group really yet. But you see him in a suit. Samoa Joe's always in a suit. So that should be for your foreshadowing right there. That something's coming. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the show so far has been kind of eh. Okay. Nothing, too offensive. Now we come to the match of the show. Well, matches of the show. Now we get to the second half. And you know what? I got no problem with your opening matches setting the table for your main matches. And this show, with the way this show was set up, was all your main matches were in the second half of the show. So, I know nowadays when you go to indie shows and stuff that everybody tries to go out and steal the show with the opening match and second match. And,
that can be detrimental to the show, too.
So now what you've done is you've done work these matches where everybody, it's all about the same psychology. And babyface getting beat down, come back, heel win, face wins, whatever. But now you get into, let's get to the work part of the show. And boy, did we get it here. Cruiserweight title match. King Neville defending against Jack Gallagher. And, the Cruiserweight title matches have been kind of hit and miss sometimes. Some have been really good. Some have been okay. And, the whole division itself, it gets its criticisms, rightly so or whatever, however you feel. But these two guys right here have been two of the shining lights of the division. And they went out there and killed it in this match. Gallagher's a perfect opponent for heel Neville, I think. And, everything was really solid in this match. Everything Gallagher did. I mean, he's over. Fans were into him. Neville has been so great working as a heel. And I love the psychology that, Neville's been avoiding using the red arrow since he was a heel, but he had to use it tonight to beat Gallagher to retain his title. I love that whole psychology. And Jack Gallagher, what a freak he is bumping. My God. Bump. So what'd you think of the match?
I thought it was really good. Yeah, it was a great match. Jack is really over with the crowd. He's the success story of the Cruiserweight division so far. And Neville is a success story in his own right because he helped breathe life into the division when it desperately needed it. And he's been a good champion to kind of bring some legitimacy, at least to the casual audience, for that division. And he's having a heck of a year himself. This match was awesome. Tons of stuff in the match, tons of cool spots, tons of cool moments. Gallagher doing his almost like it was like one of the weirdest tilt plays I've ever seen, but it worked.
It fit for him.
His whole body just wiped out Neville. The bumping was, that German bump was horrifying. The snap German was brutal. Ooh. That's a concerning thing to see.
It could have been a concussion easily.
Yeah, definitely. In the slow motion, his arm got there just in time to save him from even worse damage than the pain he was probably in anyways.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, that was crazy. He took... he bounced off the ropes in a nasty way at one point. The finish, the setup, the front suplex slam was nasty bump. It was just a really, really good match with crowd got into it with some good near falls. Yeah, it was a great match. Big A plus on that one. Good effort from both guys.
He has that skin tone too, kind of like Sheamus, where you know when he takes punishment, it shows.
Yes,
his
elbow
was looking gnarly there at the end of the match. I think that adds to it, you know.
Oh, it does.
You definitely. Get to see, you know, look what's going on with this guy. He's really getting hurt. You know, he's really taking punishment.
Yeah.
Because there's people, wrestling's fake. They're not really doing nothing to themselves. They're not hurting each other. Yeah, look at those guys.
Yeah.
Ask them.
Yeah. I want the average person who doesn't watch wrestling to go take that snap German bump and see.
Bump before the red arrow. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, yep.
Me like to land on top of his head then.
He spiked his head into the ground. And
so now we get to the Cruiserweight situation. Do we have a one-on-one singles match at Mania between Neville and Tozawa, or do we get the full bonanza ladder match extravaganza for the belt?
I would probably guess that we're going to get ladder, Cruiserweight Open, such and such. You know, kind of similar to the, you know, maybe a ladder, maybe just an open, kind of like the WrestleMania.
Kind of like what the Money in the Bank used to be at WrestleMania before they put it on pay-per-view on its own show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the perfect title for that to happen. And you can get all the crazy bumps everything.
Yes, because these guys get to get on the show. You know, more of these guys who get that Mania payday and that Mania exposure. So I think that's what they should do. And I wouldn't be... I tweeted out that I thought Aries might get a title shot at Mania, but maybe someone else suggested that maybe it'll be the 205 Live after Mania where Aries returns.
They're definitely building that up big time. I mean, the video aired twice tonight. They're airing it on Raw and 205 Live every week. So Aries is definitely going to be a player, a major player. And it's And I'm guessing it's a babyface.
I think so too.
I guess Neville, that leads me to believe Neville may retain at Mania, and then they do something afterwards. So, who knows?
Yeah.
But I know. Like I said, 205 Live gets a lot of shit from a lot of people, and I understand why. But it really is fun for what it is, and the guys. I mean, it's great to see these guys get that, you know, chance to shine on that show. You know,
the show's gotten better in the last few months. There's been some hit or misses. I still think it comes on at a bad time. You know, as a big fan of SmackDown and big fan of Talking Smack, it gets frustrating when you kind of want to see the outcome of SmackDown on Talking Smack and you have to wait an hour. And 205 Live doesn't deliver as much as you might want it to every week. So it can be frustrating, but I definitely think there have been improvements this year because the first 2 months of the show were really suffering, and I think that it's getting the guys in the right place. You know, Neville's doing well. Gallagher, of course, is doing well. Mustafa Ali is one of the few guys who works the cruiserweight style that kind of draws in the casual fans who are used to that kind of, you know, kind of the way Nitro introduced cruiserweight wrestling to the U.S., which was made it into a style instead of a weight class, you know? So it's like, that's kind of my thing is like, you know, the reason some of these guys weren't getting over was because, you know, fans see it as a style, not a weight class. So, you know, guys like Ali and Cedric and Swan who are doing, the more aerial maneuvers and more flashiness are getting a little bit more over than the other guys. But, I think it's starting to get better and it's starting to work out a little bit more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Paul Heyman was next with Chuck and, kind of surprising the show, but it made sense. Said that, whoever wins between Owens and Goldberg, they're going to lose to Brock anyway. And Brock's the ultimate winner.
Yeah.
So, He's right, but anyway, but that's a whole other story. But
he is.
I mean, I think Heyman had to be on the show, so it was a small.
Yeah, so you can kind of tease a Brock appearance, kind of make people think that
it'll be a Raw tomorrow, I'm sure.
As well,
we'll see.
Oh yeah, sure.
Now we get we have New Day. New Day comes out next with their ice cream carts, which the fans loved. And they introduced the New Day Pops, where Xavier Woods got kind of adult on his little promo in there, talking about grinding it long and hard and putting away wet, which is an expression I've heard many, many times over the years, talking about something that's not ice cream. But the fans were wanting it. They were into it. And, you know, kind of like Enzo and Cass, it does get tiring. It does get kind of annoying and stale. But as long as the fans are into it, I guess that's all that matters.
Yeah. And brilliant marketing by WWE, because Orlando is going to be hot probably in early April. It's Florida. And the sun will be out because of when the show will be on. And selling these ice cream, this ice cream deal is a brilliant marketing idea, because they're going to make money off of that, because the kids are going to want to get that New Day ice cream. And it's going to be hot out there in Orlando, so smart.
Yeah, just
smart
to give you a hint, I'm looking at the weather right now just for next week, and you're looking at all 80s every day, and that's hot.
Yeah.
So, just give it a few weeks, and it'll be pumping, definitely in Orlando.
Yeah.
So, and another thing that you can market, like Bootios, they can market these pops.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
time to make some money. And speaking of making money, let's talk about the true main event of the show. Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. The build for this has been really strong. The stuff they've done on television, the angles, the interactions with Braun and Reigns was great. Roman Reigns, tremendous worker. Everybody knows that. Braun, as you just said a while ago, in your mind, won the top five in the world, and we'll you can talk more about that as we go along, but this was a hell of a damn match. Kind of a slow start, but man, everything made sense, and the crescendo build to the finish was amazing. Braun going up the top rope for the first time.
Good Lord.
I mean, that reminded me so much of fucking Big Bubba Rogers when he used to do that shit as a high spot. And, it was amazing. Just great stuff. The thing about this match, though, to me was, it seemed like all everybody wanted to talk about was Roman's fucking shoes.
typical.
Although I did like...
I mean, I noticed them, and they look weird, but...
I do like our buddy Spence saying it was tactical casual for Roman that way. But this was hell of a damn match, and Reigns got the pin, he got the win, and people were like despondent over that, and I was like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? The guy's facing Undertaker at WrestleMania. There's no way he wasn't winning clean.
Yeah.
It's Undertaker could have caused the finish, or blah 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 blah, or could have come out after the finish. Undertaker ain't showing up here. You know, come on. I mean, be serious. And Braun can do a job to Roman Reigns. And the way they did it was he jumped up the top rope. You know, he did something he'd never done before.
It was out of his element.
He was trying to do different things, and it caught up with him. And he lost to Roman Reigns. He didn't lose to R-Truth or Curtis Axel or, you know, the Colognes or anybody like that. He lost to Roman fucking Reigns. So.
And he would have won the match if he hadn't been a dummy.
Exactly.
Top rope.
Exactly. So I know that when we talked yesterday, Saturday, that this is one you're looking forward to. I know Dustin Hales, your brother, was definitely looking forward to this match. I could feel his energy all the way down here. But what was the match like in the Hales household? And again, talk about Braun as a top five worker in the world. I'm interested to hear about this.
Yeah. At first, I think it did start out slow. I think we were all kind of a little bit concerned. It was a good match. For the first part, no question. But we were like, it's kind of like they've been working a lot of matches on the undercard with the heel beating on the face, selling, and like it was getting to be in that direction. And during build up to the feud, they'd done all these big spots and the brawls, and they hadn't done any of them yet. And we were kind of like, we'll see. You know, and I mean, we were still thinking highly of the match, but it wasn't quite getting to that level yet. And then Braun took an insane
slaughter bomb
over the ring ropes to the floor. I mean, he was amazing in this match. I ended up thinking the match was great. The last 5 or 6 minutes was tremendous. And I think, looking back, the first part of the match wasn't bad at all. It was good, but they were building up to those big moments. They built up to the power slam, which was nice because, you know, they teased that early in the match with Braun, taking, clear off the table and setting up for something. And then they, paid off with the power slam, which was an awesome spot. And of course they teased the spear through the barricade leading into that spot. So it was an awesome match. Braun was amazing in it on offense. All of his offense looked good. His selling's, getting, better every week. He, took 3 crazy turnbuckle bumps, in this match. The shoulder first bump was brutal. The face first bump was brutal. The over the top bump was brutal. And of course, the miss splash was awesome and a great finish to the match. And I also want to point out that, yeah, Roman, it was made to see where Roman didn't get all of his spear on the first spear, but Braun got to kick out of the spear as well. So you got to point that out, which almost nobody ever does. Chris, when was the last time somebody kicked out of the spear? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Triple H on a delayed ref knockout spot.
Lesnar last year? Would he be the last? It's been a while. The fact that we got to think about it, it's been a protective move.
Yep. So and Braun's fine. He's fine. Roman needed the win. He's got Taker at Mania. It's fine. People, calm down. Braun is a star, and he's getting good reactions with the crowd, and people who were sour on him or didn't believe that he would be any good are starting to get into him. He's a star in the making. And I think he's got the resume this year with the Sami Zayn Last Man Standing match, the tremendous performance in the Rumble where I thought he was the best guy in it. There was a good 6-man building up to the Rumble with the post-match where Owens powerbomb Reigns to the table. That match was good. He's got the really good Mark Henry match that I liked a lot from February. He's got the awesome Big Show match. And he's got this match. I think he's got the resume for top 5 in the world so far. He's got the match performances and he's got the matches. So,
and some people want to, and everybody has their own, criteria. But, being top 5 in the world, being top 10 in the world doesn't mean that you have to be the best guy doing moves or the best worker. I mean,
absolutely not.
Wrestling is more than just that, folks. It's so much more involved in it. And I know some people get off track in that. They think it's all about the spots and everything like that. It's not all just about the spots. It's about a total package of everything that goes on. And Braun, to be where he is in this stage of his career, he's pretty damn amazing. He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a joke 2 years ago. And ever since the brand split, the way they pushed him, I mean, it's proof that they still know how to do the make guys. They still know how to make guys.
Yes, they do.
And it was so simple. And, I mean, and you got to give credit to him for not resting on his laurels, and he's actually trying to get better. He's doing more stuff.
Yes.
He's learning as he goes along.
Yes.
So, I see a lot of Ray Traylor in him.
Yeah. Boss Man. He, Boss Man was a legitimate star who drew money. So.
Yeah, I mean, if they could find the right guy for Braun to feud with, where they could put him in that position, then who knows? The sky's the limit for him. But you brought up the match, and I know I saw people online that were doing the comparison. Which was the better match, this match or the Big Show match from Raw?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll probably go with this one, edging it out. I'd probably have to watch the back-to-back. I think it's close. I'll go with this match, but I wouldn't begrudge anyone if they picked the Big Show match, because I think both matches are great.
I'll tell you this. I think I would give the slight edge to the Big Show match, and here's why I say that. I think that where they were at, Los Angeles, with, you know, which can be hit and miss as far as crowds go, and they got a "This is awesome" chant before they even locked up. You know, I mean, the fans were into that match, and both guys just went up there and worked their fucking asses off throughout, and it was just we know how great Roman Reigns is. At least we do. A lot of people still want to say that, you know, he's not this or he's not that. We know how great he is, so we expect that match to be what it is. Big Show, Big Show is older. Yes, he's gotten better shape, but. And they've had really fun house show matches, but, you know, could they do it on television? And they went out there and did it, and did it greatly.
Yeah, they did.
So, and that's proof that should be proof out there of how great Braun is. So, just really, really great worker. All right. Now we get to the women's title match. And the streak, which I said before the match I thought was going to end, and it did. Even though it was screwy. But, yeah, this is all part of the story. Bayley defends her title successfully against Charlotte. Match was interesting. I thought it was a good match. I thought Charlotte, I said this on Twitter, I believe it. Charlotte, you know, she is Ric Flair's daughter, but she works like an Anderson would. I mean, she is so dominant at working on top. She may be the best worker on top they have on the roster right now.
She's improved. She's really there are things with her, and like I think she has issues with getting in place. Like, I mean, I won't take any blame from Bayley on that attempted elbow spot.
She was hung in the ropes. Bayley needed to try to. Charlotte's knee was hung.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I think you kind of have to, you know, Charlotte was kind of out of place, but Bayley also needed to improvise.
Yeah,
but
Bayley had a Sabu moment.
There's always. I think the thing with Charlotte, I think there's usually one weird spot in a match that she might be out of place or something kind of weird and wonky happens. It's not always completely her fault. It's like, you know, in this instance tonight, but otherwise, I definitely agree. She's, mixing up her holds and her submissions. She's targeting body parts. She's good at mocking the crowd and mocking the wrestler she's in the ring with. She's good at smack talk. She's a very, very, very good wrestler.
Yeah, she can get the crowd riled up. She has the charisma, and yeah, she's still getting better as a worker inside the ring, but the way everything's set up for her, and it's partly her and part of the agents. You know, the way they set the matches up for her, she has that dominant aura about her that really no other woman really has on the roster right now. So, I mean, she definitely is the alpha, even if she is a champion or not. Bayley, again, she's the one of these that could take the punishment, and people, you know, would buy into it. You knew Sasha was going to have to get involved, and she did. And then that's where all the funkiness starts, because the referees out there, you know, I thought I saw some subpar refereeing at the SCR, but this one takes the cake here. My Lord. But I think this has a purpose, though. I think this was all done because of what's, you know, the deal with Foley and Stephanie, where, you know, the spotty refereeing is going to get Foley's job. It's going to cost him his job. So, because Stephanie made a big deal about, you know, the women's match, universal title match, you know, make sure nothing happens. Well, both things had issues, and this one even more than universal match, because Sasha's clearly interfering and the referee's not doing anything about it, because this was not a no DQ match. So you got Sasha clearly, having issues with Charlotte, you know, having a physical altercation. The referee's looking at it like, okay. And then Sasha pointing out that, you know, Charlotte was holding the trunks, which she was. But He got the referee off his game, and of course Bailey got the pin that way. But the real thing about this is the booking of Bailey here. You know, her doing the whole hell no, and I'm fine being champion because of Sasha helping out, and then this going on here. I know some people are saying that that's just been so against Bailey's character, what she's supposed to be. And I mean, it is interesting to see how she's been portrayed here compared to how she was portrayed in NXT.
Right.
I mean, do you think that they're not doing Bailey right by this storytelling or what?
I don't think it's all that bad. I in my mind, maybe it's just because that's how I think, because of the kind of person I am. But I mean, you'd be a friggin' moron to give up the belt because somebody helped to win. I'd keep the belt too. I don't care if I was a babyface yeah. or a heel. Like that's just kind of how I think. Like it's just like, why would you do that? That's stupid. For me personally, I think it'd be dumb to do that. Like I always think it's dumb when a babyface does that. And it's very much a WWE babyface thing to do for them getting caught cheating and then saying screw off. So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, look at Hulk Hogan and John Cena and Austin. And so it's like
some of the biggest babyface in the company history have been assholes.
right. So it's consistent with that. So, it's, you know, I mean, I think it's fine. I think also it's more Sasha's fault.
Yeah.
For getting involved in Bailey's matches and causing all these problems, which I think is, yep. Absolutely.
That's a story.
And it makes, you know, Sasha's the one in the wrong here, you know. Charlotte is right. You know, she should be pissed that people are interfering in her matches. And Bailey's right because why wouldn't she keep the title? You know?
Now
She's.
The question is, though, what way do you think they go about to getting the Mania? Do you think that that Stephanie decides just to strip the title completely, or where do we go here?
That's my brother Dustin's theory. He thinks that they're just gonna, you know, tomorrow night we're gonna get all these last few months of Foley, the issues between Stephanie and Foley. Foley's going to get fired, and Stephanie's going to strip Bailey of the belt, and Charlotte's going to keep her clean record, or at least have one without a loss, and it might be vacant going into Mania. So I don't know if that will happen. I really don't know, actually. The only thing I feel like for sure is going to happen is the four-way's going to happen, and Sasha's going to eventually turn either before Mania or after Mania. So,
yeah, or during.
yep. During, yeah, very
yeah.
good point.
You could definitely see Sasha maybe being the one to pin Bailey or something like that. To involve in that, but yeah, they got a story going on. So we just got to see what happens. All right, now we get to the official main event, I guess. Kevin Owens defending Universal title against Goldberg. I thought that everything they did here was awesome. I love Kevin Owens doing the tribute to Larry Zbyszko, stalling around, which gave Goldberg a chance to get rest because Goldberg was blowed up in the ring from his intro.
Yeah.
So it gave Goldberg a chance to get rested. So Owens is out there fucking off, you know, for, I think somebody said for 8 minutes. Or does it seem like 8 minutes or whatever? But he was out there for a while, back and forth out of the ring. The match hadn't even started yet, though. They never rang the bell. So that's the thing that people weren't paying attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the match was not officially started. Yep. So he was able to do that. That's why he wasn't getting counted out or nothing. He could do what he wanted to.
Yep.
But it was just built up. And it was giving the fans, you know, making them want to see get his ass kicked. Then he gets in the ring. He finally decides, well, they got to do this. So he gets in the ring. They ring the bell, and then Chris Jericho's music hits, and I was like, yes!
Yeah.
And Jericho comes walking out, Owens all pissed off, spear, jackhammer, 21 seconds, gone. I thought that was tremendous. It was the right way to do what they did, because, I mean, Goldberg's not working a long match. And it was the perfect way to set up Owens and Jericho at Mania. You know, Goldberg's got the belt. We know he's facing Lesnar, so that's, you know, that's the way of getting there. And I know a lot of fans are crying because Owens lost, but I mean, how did you not, you know, expect that to happen? I mean, he's going to fucking lose. We know what the plans are.
Right.
So come on, you know. But
yep.
I mean, yep. I loved it. What'd you think?
Oh yeah, I liked it a lot too. My only minor complaint is that I kind of wish the bell had rung before Owens started stalling. And yeah, they could have done the count out, but you know, and Owens kind of going out and walking around, I feel like Goldberg would still be smart enough not to go running after him. So you know, I feel like they could have done that. But I mean, that's just a really minor complaint, not a big one at all. But yeah,
the reason why I think it worked like it did though, is because of what happened. The way that when the bell rang, then Jericho's music hit automatically. That's how it worked.
There you go.
That's how it worked. I understand where you're going with it but that's why it worked.
Right. Right. And for the whiners, Kevin Owens was lost because of the distraction. We don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
If Jericho, that's the thing. We don't know.
And it played into the story.
Owens could have outsmarted.
And it played into the story. And Michael Cole, I mean, he said it, and that, I don't know if Vince fed it or whatever, but he said all the times Chris Jericho kept the title for Kevin Owens, now he costs him a title. So they paid off all that psychology right there.
Yep. It was very, very, very well done. Very well done. Yeah, you know, and you know, that's how it was done. You know, like the key was Jericho's interference. I think it would have hurt Owens more if he had been squashed, you know, without the interference. I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have been mad really, but I think the complaints would have been legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But you know, because like I said, we don't know. Owens could have outsmarted Goldberg. And beat him, you know, without Jericho's interference. That's possible. Could have happened, you know. We don't know. That's the kind of the cool part about it. That's ambiguous. You know, you can't guess what would have happened without that interference, which helps Owens. So, yeah. You know, I liked that Owens wasn't, you know, banter Owens or anything like that. He was serious, but he was smart, you know, going out, stalling on the ring. You know,
he was a heel.
He wasn't being a goofball.
He was a heel. He was a chicken shit heel.
Yep.
I mean, he's no Sauronaro, but he was a chicken shit heel, you know, out there.
Right. Yeah, I think it worked perfectly fine. We've got those two matches clear, set in stone, looks like. So.
Yeah, and Owens, he'll beat Jericho. He'll be the U.S. champion again. So see what happens from there. But, I thought it was awesome. So, show in general. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do you fall?
This felt like a thumbs in the middle show, weirdly enough, even though I think, because I think that there was, like, it still means I like the show. It didn't blow me away. So I'm going to give it a thumbs in the middle, but close to a thumbs up. But yeah, I'm still looking forward to Mania. So you know, my excitement for that hasn't waned any. So thumbs in the middle. I think the undercard was a little bit underwhelming. But yeah,
I meant more of a thumb in the middle, but slanted towards up. Maybe a 60-40 is where I'm at.
Sure.
So the first half of the show felt like television. I mean, it felt like your normal Raw. But the big matches, you know, stepped it up. And, you know, it got better in the second half of the show. So, yeah, I would go with, like I said, a thumb and an angle. A little bit above middle, but... But yeah, it was a fun show regardless, and you know, could have been better. Yeah, could have been worse. Oh God, yeah. So
definitely,
it's definitely not some of the pay-per-views that we've seen. You know, we've seen some real stinkers over the past few years. So it's definitely above those. But now let's talk about the real important show of the weekend. The Scenic City Rumble in beautiful Soddy Daisy, Tennessee on Saturday night that we were both lucky to attend. And that was a really great evening of wrestling action. Every match was at least good and had a perfect ending to the show, I thought. The main event, the Rumble 30 minutes SCR was really great with about as good, a perfect of an ending for a certain area as you could get, you know. And
yes,
it's on the Wrestle Words Twitter account. That ending is on there if you want to watch it. There's a complete match on there, the Anthony Henry versus Torque match for the PWX title, which was the best match on the show, period. Both men just went out there and stole the show. Anthony Henry was on top of his game, and Torque just brought everything he had, and it was a total showcase match for him. But, in the opener, the Carnies versus the Lynch Mob and Tank and Iceberg, hell of a damn match, too. The Hierarchy, Adrian Armour, Chip Day, and Murder One versus Kevin Blue, Gunnar Miller, and Corey Hollis. Corey Hollis was awesome on the show. That was another fun match. Just a lot of fun matches on the show. I hated that Sal Renaro got injured in the SCR.
That stinks.
It looked serious. I don't know how serious it is, but I saw the guy, you know, last week at WrestleAmerica against Tyson Dean. Just put on a great chicken shit heel performance there and was awesome last night in the same role. Just really, really good talent. And I hate to see somebody like that get hurt. But great show. Great fellowship with all the people that were there, wrestling Twitter folk and the like. And always good to get up in that area. And if you got a chance to get up there August 4th and 5th for the CNC Invitational, you got to go. I mean, it's well worth going just for the experience, you know, being with everybody and everything. And, you know, let you talk more about it. But I tell you, it's just an amazing deal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a great show. Like you said, every match was good. I thought the best match on the card was Anthony Henry versus Torque. Anthony Henry was working like friggin' low-key.
Oh, yes.
it was a brutal beating on Torque. It was actually for the PWX championship.
Yeah, PWX title, yeah.
That was an excellent match. I'll just go ahead and say, you know, kind of give the background of the story of the SCR Rumble match itself. The winner was Tank, who is a regional legend around here. Some people probably know him or may know him from his work at IWA Mid-South and Deathmatch Wrestling and Strong Style tournaments and stuff over the years for Ian. But he's in his last year of wrestling, he has announced he won the Scenic City Rumble last night. It came down to him and the three members of the of Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's Hierarchy, who was the main heel group at Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment's AWE's promotion. It was Chip Day and Adrian Armour and Murder One. Tank was babyface, got huge pops. Chris
Oh, God, burned. Yes.
Crowd was...
They were totally in him way more than anything else on the show. Even Gunnar Miller.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And Tank made his big comeback, won the match. And they've announced, setting it up here a little more. They've announced, what, three, Chris? Three?
Yeah, Gunner's on Matt Leanne because he's a champion. Yep. They announced before the Rumble that Matt Riddle's coming back to be in it. And then Tank wins the Rumble.
Tank won the Rumble. So Tank, he said he's... did he say he was retiring after SCR weekend? Or
I think that's
SCR
implied. I don't know if he outright said it. If he did, I missed it. But that's what I'm thinking.
It's sort of kind of implied there. He said he's retiring at this year. 2017 is his last year in independent wrestling, and he has challenged Matt Riddle to a first round match. for SCI,
which was built up last year during the Q&A, where Tank, you know, they both talked about wanting to wrestle each other, and a year later it's going to happen.
Yep. So that's the 5 month build of that match, which is awesome. Nice, great storytelling. That's going to be something else. Justin, earlier tonight during Fastlane, it was tweeted out on the Scenic City Invitational Twitter page that starting tomorrow night, every Monday night, there will be a new entrant for the 2017 Scenic City Invitational announced, I believe. I don't know if you saw that yet, Chris.
Oh, yeah, I retweeted. Dylan tweeted it out, your brother, and then I retweeted it. So, it's going to be awesome, you know, to see all the talent that's going to be in there.
So keep an eye on social media, Twitter, Facebook. The fourth entrant will be announced tomorrow, and then all the way up to the 16th and final entrant for the next couple of months, every Monday night. So keep on the outlook or on the keep looking for that.
Yeah, and the last show will be available. It was taped by Andy Heat. Brad Stutzy and Dan and Dragon Wilson were the announcers, so it's going to be great announcing on the show. You can believe that. So, yeah, be on the lookout for whenever it comes out on whatever platform they put it out on, DVD, direct download, whatever. So go check that out whenever it shows up. And if you follow us, you and me on Twitter, you will definitely know when everything's coming out, because we'll be, you know, advertising the hell out of it. So, really, really great time, and God, there was just some really good workers on the show that you might not know. You'll see for the first time. You know, that's the best thing about it. You get a lot of local flavor on this show, and guys getting the exposure that they need. You know, maybe to lead to bigger and better things. Like, you know, Gunnar Miller, who won last year's CNC Invitational. He's a guy right now that he could step into WWN and be a player if he so chose. I mean, the guy is that good at what he does.
Absolutely.
And Andy Henry, you know, he's traveled around. Everybody knows him. And Chip Day's, you know, done the rounds. And, you know, Tank and Iceberg have been around forever. So everybody knows them. The Carnies are starting to get out more. Lynch Mom's starting to get around more. There's guys that you know. And there's other guys on there, too, that you may have never really seen. So Mecha Mercenary was on the SCR. From CW Mid-Atlantic, and, you know, has some really fun interactions in there. And I highly suggest everybody check it out. And get up there for the SCI, man. It's going to be awesome, no matter what. Definitely awesome.
Definitely.
So, on that note, I think we've covered everything. So, Devin, what's going on in your watching? Are you still up to date? Are you behind now? Or where are you at?
I have a lot of house show watching, but like I said, earlier this year, I will be doing a long list of house show match recommendations where I selectively watch house show matches instead of trying to watch everything, because that is exhausting and turns my fun and hobby into a chore.
Yeah, that becomes a problem. Believe me.
I still rank the, TV and pay-per-view matches, every month. My February rankings, I announced they should be out tomorrow night during Raw. That might not happen because this has been a busy weekend, but they'll definitely be out, no question, Tuesday night during SmackDown at the absolute latest. So, my February rankings for WWE. So, look out for that. And you can follow me at Twitter, at King Motivator H, and my blog where I post my monthly rankings is wrestlingvirtues.blogspot.com, and that link is on my Twitter page as well.
Awesome. Between the Sheets, which dropped today, goes to 1987. First time been back to the 80s in a while. Talking about Jim Crockett Promotions taking over Championship Wrestling from Florida, and all kinds of other stuff going on, a lot of fun stuff from Continental and Memphis and World Class and all the varied territories. Talk about World Wrestling Federation a little bit, Japan. So, fun little 80s show. Not the 6.5-hour mega show from last week, but a good enough show. And yes, during the Amazon game, more talk about the SCR, and definitely listen to me put over certain businesses in the air, such as McKay's. So definitely check that out for on the Amazon game on BTS. And next week's Between the Sheets, we go back to 1993, where we discuss the murder of Dino Bravo and all kinds of other stuff going on, such as WCW officials kind of shaky on Ric Flair's return. They're not that impressed. And Vince McMahon and his lawsuit against Geraldo Rivera. Yeah, that happened. So more on that Between the Sheets next Monday. X on Bad Street. We'll see what happens. Go check out the latest show I did with Nick Manawa on 2002 IW Mid-South Wrestling, which a lot of people have told me that they loved. So go check that out. And there'll be more of those in the future. So anyway, Devin, thanks as always for being on the show. Absolutely. You will be on the next one because you'll be at Mania.
No, I will be there. So, that's correct.
Who knows? Mania may. Who knows what Mania will end up being? Because Johnny. Who knows what kind of condition Johnny will be in for that night? So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I won't be at Mania, so I'll be at home watching. They'll be outside in Orlando at the stadium. I'll be inside in the air conditioning. So anyway, we'll see what happens that night. But on that note, thanks everybody for listening. And check us out on all our different platforms that we got going on. Of course, I'm at Twitter at Chris Zellner, KRISCELLNER. And we will see you later.